It's time to think big with Big Alaska Guests, Big Alaska Adventures, and No Good Lying Through Your Tooth Tall Alaska Tales. It's the Big Alaska Show. Broadcasting from the studios of a remote cabin outside Bolchitna and streamed worldwide at KFQD.com with podcasts streamed at BigAlaskaShow.com. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve and some Big Alaska Show friends. Matt Hayes and his dad, Rusty Hayes, former outdoor fishing and hunting guide, in the house. And we're talking close encounters with bears and other wildlife. Plus, we've got a tall Alaska tale to tell. Designed to raise your spirits and not your blood pressure, unless you're a guy named Mike Ford. Good morning, everyone. It's the Big Alaska Show.
On the Big Alaska Show, I'm going to do a big shout-out to my wife, Amy, right off the bat, because it was her genius, as you know, Mike.
Yes.
Who suggested today's guests.
Oh.
And I've had the last 15 or 20 minutes of laughing my little buns off. I've been having a blast in here.
I got it all recorded. No, I'm kidding.
And by the way, are we recording the show?
Yes, of course.
Yes. But now we do have Matt and Rusty Hayes in here, but we also have Nana, the woman who keeps this all together. But I don't know if she can hear, because she doesn't have headphones. Can she hear the little monitor if we try and do it?
Is she? Well, we might get a little feedback.
That's what I'm thinking.
She can hear you guys. That's all that matters, right? She doesn't need to hear me.
Yeah, you know.
I got nothing to add to this. All right, you're the fun bunch.
You're right. You're.
So she can hear the phone bunch, and then she can know if it's the truth coming out of you three, because she knows all. I'm getting the feeling, right? Well, she's the keeper of all the secrets and all the good stories.
And at least now we'll give her the incentive to listen to the podcast.
There you go.
So,
see? Yeah. If she wants to hear my part, listen to the podcast. She doesn't need to hear my part.
You know, what we could do is we could separate that part and give her just that.
That's right.
You know, an abridged version of the show.
That'll be your job.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Dance Monkey Boy. I know this one. Yeah. Anyway, we have a fun show today. We've got Matt Hayes is a longtime friend of mine. We met in broadcast, and they have a really cool shop there on 4th and G. We're going to find out. But they also have a background in the outdoors world, and some of the best stories. Also, I have been finding out that Rusty has a background in, he was erecting broadcast towers.
Oh.
And you and I have been going through a little broadcast history here lately. And
so like climbing to the top of those things?
Well, we'll find out.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah, no, I think that's where Matt comes in. You know? Yes.
Here you go, son. Here's the belt. Clip it on there. Good luck.
So, anyway, thank you, Amy. I love
it
you,
it feels
baby.
A little warm. Did you turn the transmitter off?
I know.
He has a nice glow, doesn't he? We don't really need a nightlight. He's home.
Nana's wondering what the heck's going on. You always talk about how you're the whole thing, man. I'm watching you. Folks, this is entertainment at its finest on a Saturday morning. The longest-running, mistake-ridden radio show in Alaska's history after 18 years.
Really? 18 now?
Okay. Mock us now. Praise us later.
Yes.
We've got a fun show. We've got a tall Alaska tale. You know, Gene Moe is probably one of our best bear encounter stories. But the one they have today that Matt told me years ago, and I want to hear it again, is rivals that.
Okay. You've piqued my interest.
Yes. We've got our guests in the green room. We've got a fun show today, folks. But, of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't start the Big Alaska Show out the right way.
Oh, hang on.
Push the button, Mike.
Get to the right place. Now you know it's live, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
it's
here we
wonderful.
Go. Here we go.
Folks, the key to a successful radio show especially an early Saturday morning radio show, is a strong cup of coffee. And nothing stronger than Big Alaska Show Blend, the intense early morning coffee for intense early morning indigestion. Made from an old secret family recipe, Big Alaska Show Blend packs a powerful cup of coffee that's been handed down from generation to generation with the same unique flavor it started with. That's because it is the same cup it started with. And one taste says it all. Bitter biting with a specific gravity of basalt, Big Alaska Show Blend. The intense early morning coffee for intense early morning gas.
Pour me a cup, it's time to get up and face the world, my friend. Pour me a cup, I can't get enough for that Big Alaska Show Blend.
Anyway, that's how we rolled here in the Big Alaska Show. And when we come back, we've got Rusty and Matt and Nana Hayes here at the Big Alaska Show, along with my good buddy and co-host Mike Ford. We'll be right back after these important messages. As we say, anyone who gives us money, Mike, we call
friend.
And the more money,
the better the friend.
We'll be right back right after this.
Welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford of Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Neighbors Windows and Doors, Alaska's window experts for windows, doors, shower doors, affordable glass replacement. It's Neighbors Windows and Doors at 6251 Tunnel or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com.
And thank you for joining us on the Big Alaska Show. We do have podcasts. You can go to BigAlaskaShow.com, and we air every Saturday, 9.05 a.m. to 10 a.m. here on KFQD 103.7 FM, 7.50 a.m. There's still, yes, folks, there's still a.m., and then we stream at KFQD.com. Our guests are, it's a father, son, and mother trio. We've got Matt Hayes, his dad Rusty, and Nana Hayes here in the studio with us. You'll find out why they're here. This is just going to be a fun hour, folks, of talking fishing, hunting, broadcasting, and, you know, whatever other ridiculous things we can come up with.
And high school antics.
And high school antics, yes. Yes, of course. Let's give a warm Big Alaska Show welcome to Rusty, Matt, and Nana Hayes. Let's start with you, Matthew. So watch me hit you in the face. Let me chip a few teeth here. By the way, I went and had a root canal the other day, and the one thing I can say about a root canal is during that time, none of the world's problems bother you.
That's right. It's right at the tip of that drill.
Yeah, it just, you know, I like to dare my dentist and go, just try and hurt me. Hey, man, so this is awesome. I'm so glad Amy suggested...
Yeah, long time in the coming.
Yeah. Let me get you up a little closer here. Pull that thing up,
yeah,
to you? I don't want to hurt you.
Yeah.
This is like old farm equipment here. We were just talking about the studio during the pandemic.
Maybe if you chew that bubble gum a little more and pull on the baling wire tighter. Yes.
Anyway, Matt Hayes, you've got a little shop right there in 4th and G, and what's the name of it, and what do you guys do with that?
It's the Alaska Ivory Exchange, and we've been there 33 years this summer.
That is awesome. What do you guys sell there?
Well, we've got, you know, fine sculpture, lots of great jewelry, but we specialize in the woolly mammoth ivory.
The woolly mammoth ivory, isn't that amazing? I saw the tusk in there.
Yeah.
It's only, what, an $88,000 tusk?
Well, give or take.
Yeah, right. How much does that thing weigh?
It's nearly 200 pounds.
God, no wonder they didn't survive. Man, they talk about a root canal.
No kidding.
So, because I see a lot of tourists coming in, and what's the favorite item being sold this year, would you say?
Our scrimshaw. We sold out of the best scrimshaw in 2 months.
That's amazing. Yeah, That's cool. I love success.
Yeah, you bet. We had it coming.
Yeah. Your dad started, he pulls you into it, and now I went in there, and Miller, your son, was there manning it. And
he's my night manager.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I went in and said, where your dad? He said he went fishing. I just missed you. Now, can people look you up online, or you just don't mess with that?
No, it's a little bit of brain damage. and we have so many people that come up every year that become our friends. We want them to have first shot at anything we have in the shop.
Are you just seasonal pretty much in that?
Exactly. You got to go out and get it in the off season.
Okay.
So I'm curious about one thing. If you have this amazing tusk from this woolly mammoth, do you do like a ceremonial bringing it from the safe to the floor every day? Because if you do, I've got an idea for you.
Okay.
Okay. And it'll start.
One, two, tres, cuatro.
Okay. And you bring it out of the safe.
Okay.
Bully, bully.
And you have this parade from the safe to the showcase.
We'll get Steve in his outerwear with his spiky hat.
Steve could wear the Sam. He could wear the Sam to Sham outfit.
See, this is what I love about Mike. Where the world wears bifocals, Mike Ford has visions.
There you go. That just came to my mind when you guys were talking about this amazing test. I have to present it.
He's got a point there.
Come on down, Mike. I'll show you my woolly mammoth.
It's actually a beautiful piece. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
But Mike's got a good point. You know how on the Copper River?
Yeah.
Red, you know how they take the first one and they go down the
scale. And they make a big deal out of
it. Kiss it.
Yeah.
It's $100 a pound, and if you just wait a couple of weeks, you can get it for $8.95, you know. So
they're still making salmon. I'm not lowering my price.
That's true. That's true.
Mike and I are talking about what we want to do is we want to do something similar, but do it with a humpy.
Yeah.
And have them, you know, have a... And you have a guide.
Get a Cessna with the balloon tires.
And take it to Spinard.
That's right.
See, my goodness, I've never had so much fun in all my life.
You ain't seen nothing yet, Steve.
It's really a neat little shop to go in there, and there's tons of things in there, and there's some real beautiful artwork.
Well, we were just saying, it's mom and pop, you know, and sons, too, so it's... Dad started it, and I jumped in, and Mom was always there, and she's the best salesman out of the bunch of us, for sure.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
You know, the boys show up when they can.
And there's Maybelline.
Oh, of course.
They got their little dog, Maybelline.
She's a woolly dachshund.
She's put little tusks on her.
Well, she's got the bling, the mammoth ivory bling. So.
That's right. I saw that. Oh, man. But enough about your dad. See, Mike Ford, Matt and I met when we worked at, it was an independent station, KTBY, Channel 4. And at that time, it was just starting to become Fox. So, you know, we got America's Most Wanted and The Simpsons, and I can't remember if they're Cops.
Well, I was selling Lucille Ball and Andy Griffith.
Yes.
And the Honeymooners and things like that.
Oh, my gosh.
And two seasons later, I'm selling the Super Bowl, so.
Yeah, and they also had this very, very popular kids' club that the parents and mothers just hated us because we would pack the malls with the kids.
Kitty and Kid Fox.
What's that?
Kitty and Kid Fox.
Yes, but we would be giving out, like, Kid Fox strings, shoe strings. Yeah. You know, they were like green or some color.
Okay. I don't remember that.
And we'd be handing them out at the mall, and the kids were lined up forever, and you could see the mothers looking at us like eyeball meets knife.
Yeah.
Made me stand here all this time for a Steve.
We used to do, in the Chuck E. Cheese, we'd do, you know, two birthday, say June and July, come down, get your free slice of pizza and your 10 tokens. And it was a madhouse.
Yes.
And that's when they served beer. So all the mothers are taking pitchers of beer with them. It was awesome.
Yeah. And
this was before reality TV. That would have made a great show.
Well, and there's nothing better of having those that were partly trade and you could get them together. Like, you know, Chuck E. Cheese and the Matt Made Moo Cow. trout fishing on the Kenai. And so a guy was running the show. I wanted to go trout fishing.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I mean, because my background was production. And I mean, selling Lucille Ball and all that stuff compared to the major networks that had Channel 2 News and, you know, the...
So much. Give and take, trade.
I was
the king of trade.
Yeah. What's that Bush Pite saying? No matter what happens, you always fly the plane. We did. And I still remember Bill Parker was one of the guys, salesmen we worked with. And I had come up with an idea for a sale. This is during a tough times economically. And so we had to come up with creative ideas. And so I had written this idea where Bill Parker ever appeared, there'd be a sale. But I had to give him a character. So I pitched to him was we put him in a coonskin hat and put him on a horse and call him Billy Buckskin Parker. That didn't go over as well as I
expected. I don't remember that. Did that sell anywhere?
No, but I came up with I came up with the characters Billy Buckskin Parker and Old Jim Socks. And wherever they appeared... And I had written this jingle for it. And I remember pitching it to them. And it was, I mean, there was just, there's a difference between explaining a punchline and delivering one, I found out. So, I think maybe that Billy Buckskin Parker idea is what got me going to my next job.
Yeah, I think that was the ejection letter right there.
Let's do this.
How about a tall Alaska tale?
What I want to do is I want to get Rusty in on this because then I think it'll make a lot more sense.
Oh, okay.
Alaska tale, okay?
All right.
Okay, so Rusty, you're on. What do you think?
Welcome.
Your background, so I didn't realize you had a background in broadcast towers.
Well, yeah, actually that was my real job. You know, I did a lot of flying and, you know, commercial fish and things like that. You had to do all those things at that period in time to make a living. But once I really got into the tower business or the broadcast business, I couldn't do anything else because, you know, once you sign a contract, you're in. So we built towers from out in the Aleutians, clear to New York.
Did you put the one up on Channel 2 there on the 4th Avenue Theater?
I worked on it once. I can't remember whether I said it. Seems like I did. I remember having a job on top of the 4th Avenue Theater.
Yeah.
You know, Alaska doesn't have the huge towers because they've got a mountain here to put the antenna on. So, you know, and so most of the broadcast business, the big towers, are like in the flat areas like the East Coast where if you raise your tower from 1,000 foot to 2,000 foot, you pick up another couple million.
Ah, I did not know this. Okay, that makes sense.
That's where the big towers were, and that's where I wound up doing most of the work. Now, I did, some big towers out in the Aleutians for the Coast Guard and stuff like that, but majority of the work was East Coast. We just preferred to live here in Alaska while we were doing
it. Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, that's a long commute. Now, I said you're an outdoor... You did guiding and stuff like that. Did you ever do that, or
I did. I worked ordinarily with a master guide. I was more like an assistant guide, and there was always a job for me because those guys all wrecked their airplane the first week of the season, and they needed the airplane worse than anything else. So I'd go work for them if I wasn't doing something else. And
now, where did the outdoorsman part of you? Did you grow up around it?
Oh, yeah, I was a farm kid from Arkansas, and, you know, you grow up carrying a gun, shooting anything that wiggles, you know. I really enjoyed hunting and fishing, and I was fortunate enough to marry Kay, who kind of enjoyed it, too, and we did a lot of it. We especially bird hunting, big game hunting when we were here, and I had airplanes. Actually, I bought and sold airplanes all the time, too, so... We always had a wheel plane and a float plane. Yeah.
There was a story, and should he tell her or should you tell it?
I can start it.
Okay, here's a bear story that Matt told me about.
We had hunters at Stepan Lake, and my friend and I were there just to help pack meat. But it was a nice spring, got warm. The moose would hide up all day and only come out about, you know, 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes in the evening. And they wouldn't spend the night. So me and my buddy and a friend of ours from Arkansas went to the hill and spent the night. And I made a great stock on a giant moose. And when it got running, my buddy shot the other moose. And so we're at the lake and having to go back up the other second day. And the rule at the lake is you never leave your gun or your rain gear. And I said, it's a blue sky day. I said, I'm breaking both the rules, Dad, because I know I had so much meat and the horns and everything to bring out of there. And Dad said, I said, I'd never go up there again, but I'm going with you because I'm scared for you. And that's the segue.
Well, yeah, I'm really into packing meat. But when we get to the kill, it's got a mound of dirt on it about, you know, 6 feet high, been covered up by bears. And so we sat down there and we're having lunch, and everybody said, well, where are the bears? I said, well, they're right here. They're watching, you know. Well, nobody paid any mind.
Of course.
So the moose are only, you know, 100 yards apart or something. So we get finished here. We go down to the other one, and then here she comes. Big old sow and two big old two-year-old cubs. And I think, what did we face down? 4 or 5 bear charges?
At least.
Yeah. And, but, you know, it's hard to scare a bear off, and all you do is spit your gum at it.
That's the part. I'll tell you what I remember Matt telling me on this is you spit the gum, and it came pretty close to the bear, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
Stuck right in her ear.
It's stuck in her ear. You spit gum and stuck in the bear's ear.
Yeah, and man, she had bad breath.
maybe instead take that gum out of your ear. Yeah,
freshen up.
But the other thing he told me was you had a T-shirt that said something like, going hunting with Dad was always an adventure. So here's this guy. You had... was it a customer? You had somebody who...
Just friends.
Okay, friends. But the guy was from Arkansas.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So you're standing there between them and the bear. I mean, you're protecting You're protecting them.
Sure.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, as best you can, you know. I mean... But this old girl was... she was pretty adamant about the fact that it was her bear. And we couldn't have it. And... Ronnie tried to climb a little spruce tree about that big. Matt pulled him back down.
And took his gun.
Yeah. Now, who's Ronnie?
He's Ronnie Ramsey. He has a Chrysler Dodge store in Arkansas.
Okay, so he's your guest.
He's a friend of ours.
All right.
But anyway, we had a great time, and we finally get our packs loaded and had a really bad swamp to go through to get to some better ground, and I was really pretty anxious about it because I'm afraid she'll attack us in the alder, and it's so thick, you know, and it's you're bogging down to your knees, and
oh my gosh.
And we get through the swamp and get to a little clear stream and take our packs off and get a drink of water, and Matt looked around and he said, oh hell, he said, it'll probably rain too.
How many charges? Get back to this chart. You guys just...
I think she charged 3 times and then each of the cubs once.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I remember. As Dad says to me, where's the next kill? I said, it's down there. You can see the meat in the tree. So we had all the meat hanging up. And so we go there, and then he says, where's the kill site? And it's all head high. And I said, I go right there. And as soon as that happens, her head comes up. And then the two younger ones, their heads came up.
Oh, my gosh.
And they flanked us, and she came right at us. And that's, and then I start hearing the safeties going click, click, click on the guns behind me. Mm-hmm. So I took one and got behind Dad, and we... had to get the horns off the moose and push them away from our friends. And Dad, I watched his back while he went up the big hill.
So
then he didn't watch my back. I wanted to put in there. and I could see her eye. I'm like, Dad, don't let me do that.
Oh, my God. So all this time, you're getting charged or you're being threatened, and you're still trying to...
When we were trying to tie the meat on the packpacks, you can feel it start shaking, and here she comes again from 200 yards away, and she's throwing clods of dirt up over her back. Amazing.
Was she making noise?
Oh, yeah. Like a grizzly train, or like a grizzly freight train.
Mike Ford, I mean, tell me.
Can't even imagine.
I mean, this is...
You're not allowed to kill a sow and cubs.
Yeah.
A sow with cubs, so, you know, we... And everybody's wanting to say, shoot her, Dad, shoot her.
Yeah, yeah.
No, all I had was a pistol anyway, and I didn't...
Felt pretty inadequate.
But I'd been through this once before with Kay and the kids down at Silver Salmon Creek.
Of course,
so
I kind of
had it figured out, you know. Stand your ground. Don't back up.
And that's finally what you have to do is take a few steps at them. Yeah. They've never been rushed. And Dad's sitting there with a 9-foot fly rod just whipping it. And the bear's so tall and it's up on its hind legs, it has to roll its head over to one side so he could see him. And then to the other side, and drool's coming out so he can see him. Because when he's looking straight ahead, his nose is so wide, you can't see Dad.
That's one of the most amazing stories. And so how long did this all take? This took over for quite a while.
It took a little while. There almost always, you know, there's a sow and two cubs and an old boar, and they're pretty territorial, especially, you know, we've got...
Their meat.
We've got fish there in that case, Kay runs and stands in front of her kids like this. You know?
Oh, good for you. God, that's just...
Yeah, she's superwoman-ist.
Unbelievable. I mean...
When we finally got away from the bear, walked back down the beach to the airplane, Kay sat down on a log and threw up.
She said, you didn't need to tell him that. And the mama's doing really good till she puked her guts.
Yeah, it was pretty terrifying for her, you know.
It sounds like Matt kind of was probably right behind her almost. Because,
hey, my mom and Darryl were there. Dad was saying everything was cool. He was asking Mom, hey, get your little camera out, take some pictures, trying to calm her down.
Is that right?
And then we're getting ready to go, and she's like, let's get. He said, well, get the damn salmon. We're all carrying, you know, limits of silver salmon out of there.
I mean, I cannot. I mean, now you said you had another encounter.
Well, yeah. You know, I've had several bear charges. In that particular instance, like three or four times. And then when later on with that, the other, you know. But if you stand your ground, they ordinarily won't eat you up. So.
Yeah.
And if you can crowd them a little bit, why, it seems to unnerve them a little bit.
What do you mean, crowd them?
Walk toward them. When they rush you, you got to take a couple.
Just trying not to get the drool on you.
Yeah, right. But they're drooling, man.
Yeah, I know. But it's dead serious business, you know. You turn and run, they're going to eat you up.
Yeah, yeah. Just having the wherewithal presence to not freeze. To not freak out. Matt, had you encountered bears other than this one before?
I'd been around bears, but nothing like that, within 10 feet of them. But I had, you know, the best story for show and tell in fifth grade that day.
Oh, I know. I still remember you telling me when you were flying back, your buddy from Arkansas, the car dealer owner, you said something to him like, you're going to have a great story to tell when you get back. And he said something like, who's going to believe me?
Yeah, no, he got up in church and talked about fear and how real it is and how to be blessed.
You talk about gratitude. Wow.
Yeah, he made a point. He was teaching a Sunday school class, but he made it very, very clear to everybody that it's okay to be afraid.
Yeah. The moral of this story, Mike, is anytime you ever go bear hunting,
stand your ground.
Yeah, and be sure to chew some gum. Because, I tell you, there's nothing, a 300 Magnum has
no,
it doesn't compare
to a big wad of gum.
It's got to be the blue kind.
so you can see it on the blood.
I'm just so so you successfully went out from there and you got your meat, took it back.
And left all the bear alive.
Yeah. God. Yeah. Holy mackerel. Yeah. So that's why I wanted to wait. When we come back, we're going to come back with Rusty, Matt, and Nana, and we're gonna have a tall Alaska tale for you that is pales. This is going to bore them to tears, if it hasn't already. Anyway, you're listening to The Big Alaska Show. We have wonderful guests. We've got my good buddy. What a great way to start a Saturday morning, eh, Mike Ford?
Absolutely.
And when we return, we'll have more, plus a tall Alaska tale. Right after this. And welcome back to The Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Alaska Enterprise Solutions, your authorized sales agent for Alaska. Call Mike Ferris or visit him anytime at aesalaska.com. And thank you for joining us on The Big Alaska Show. You can go to bigalaskashow.com and email us if you want topics or feedback. And
Really?
Actually, good point. What am I saying? Go to any place but bigalaskashow.com to email us.
You know somebody just looked at their radio.
Yeah, we've got our critic. We've got one critic. We've been talking about, wasn't that an amazing bear story?
That was an amazing bear story,
I mean, sure. And you guys have heard the Gene Moe story. He had shot a deer on Kodiak, and he was 68 at the time. And he's and the buck knife. Gene passed away this last year, unfortunately, but really a good man. But he went hand-to-hand combat for about 45 minutes and ended up surviving. And the story is just remarkable. Your story rivals Jiminy Christmas.
I don't think Gene had any gum.
No, Gene, he just had this little buck knife. We're going to play for you guys one of our all-time favorite games called
Tall Alaskan Tales, Tall Alaskan Tales, no good lying through your tooth, Tall Alaskan Tales.
Okay, so we're going to tell you guys this little short Tall Alaska Tale, and it's up to you to determine, is this a truth or a no good lying through your tooth Tall Alaska Tale? Okay, and Mike, would you tell them the disclaimer?
We're able to win our own prize, we usually do.
Yeah, we're eligible to win our own prizes, and usually we do. In fact, we always do, but that's not the point. Here we go. All right, Mike, play the tale.
Push the button.
Push the button, Mike.
Here we go.
Okay.
Right, we're ready.
He's all pushing
right.
the button now.
I am.
This tale takes place on the mighty waters of the Nooshigak River out of Dillingham, Alaska. And it was midsummer. After midnight, the red salmon run had hit in great force. And if you wait till late, when the sun goes down and it starts getting dark, well, the fish run closer to the shore. And you could just see wakes after wakes after wakes coming up the beach. So when it first hits, we're always excited and we stay out and fish far too long and have far too much fun doing it. And at this particular time, I had my dad's antique fly fishing rod and reel. And I was probably getting tired from catching so many fish, but when I was least expecting it, I had my fly reel pinned against my waist, and I hooked a red, and it exploded and took off, and when it did, the drag didn't release, and my dad's antique fly rod and reel went springing out of my hands into the water. And the fish and my fly rod took off streaming out towards the middle of the river. And without even thinking, I took three giant running leaps and dove to grab the fly rod and completely missed it. Submerged under the water in the current at 1 o'clock in the morning now, and had to turn around and swim back to the bank. And I'm standing there frustrated, mad, dejected, and this absolutely cannot believe that I just lost my father's antique fly rod and reel. And now I'm realizing it is extremely cold and that I need to get back to camp and change clothes. So I'm kicking rocks and walking back up the beach, and I get about halfway back there, and And suddenly I see a wake suddenly starting to pass me in the water. And I turn and take a hard look at it, and I realize that it's my fly rod gradually beginning to pass me, heading upstream. So I wade out to about knee-deep water and grab the fly rod, pick it up. It's all the way down to the knot from the fish reeling it. And I begin to reel it. The fish is still on. I fight the fish another 20 minutes, getting all my line back, and finally land the fish that stole my father's antique fly rod and reel.
Now, Rusty, what do you think? Is this the truth or a no good lying through your tooth to Alaska tale?
Oh, it's absolutely the truth.
Yeah. What took you so long to come to this decision?
That's wisdom right there. I'm telling you.
Because I was that kid. We did a lot of sockeye fishing on the Quijack River, and I know that thrill.
I got the answer.
Wait, hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
All right.
I think we should give Nana a chance because she hasn't heard this thing.
Okay.
She hasn't even been able to hear it at all.
She didn't hear the story.
I know, and that's a beautiful thing. So, Nana, come up here. At least we want to get your voice on this because they think we're lying to you. And Nana's coming on. So, Nana, we just told the Tall Alaska Tale that you weren't able to hear at all. So do you think it's the truth or no good lying through your tooth, Tall Alaska Tale?
I think it's the truth. I go with the boys.
That is wisdom beyond
you know,
years
that's
right there.
Economy is...
They don't waste words.
Let me tell you.
I love that.
That's mama.
You know, and our accounting firm of Dewey Cheatham and Howe knows that, you know, you don't waste words or money. So there you go.
This is the problem about trying to tell a tale that's in their wheelhouse, you know, so...
That's right. So you ready for the answer?
Yes.
All right. Push the button. Here comes the answer.
That is actually a true tale.
Oh, my goodness.
And if I would not have gotten my father's fly rod and reel back, I would have been absolutely devastated.
You would have kept walking up the beach. Don't stop. Donna, thanks for calling in today.
Yeah. So there you have it. Would you repeat our disclaimer again?
We're able to win our own prize. We usually do.
Gotta have a prize to win it, though. That's the funnest part of that. That's
one of the reasons we did that is because we have no prizes. We've been, you know, we used to give prizes, but nobody would come and pick them up.
I think that was before I joined the show. You had prizes. I don't remember prizes. Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
We had, I mean, they were sort of like, we gave away old used appliances.
Or shoelaces from Kid Fox.
Yeah, Kid Fox.
I think gum. Bear gum.
I'll tell you, this goes back to you and your ideas. We need to make a little placard kind of thing that goes in a little plastic thing and sits up on their shop in 4th and G.
Mm-hmm.
And hear the story. And we'll have a little QR code.
Oh, that's perfect.
We'll have a little QR code, and you go to it, and it goes right up to our podcast. But we need a picture of Maybelline.
No problem. She goes for scale.
Oh, my God. Yeah, really. Oh, man. You know, with a little time remaining, how much I appreciate you guys coming in. And, Rusty, I've known Matt since over 30 years now. And I always like to go in and say howdy to you folks. And I've seen Nana there and Maybelline. And what a pleasure it is to meet you, sir. And I wish we could have been recording this thing from the moment they walked into the door because it's been nothing but joy and fun. What's the next adventure for you guys? Any more bear stories?
I'm going to try to keep that to the minimum.
You're going after the rainbows?
They're chomping. I'm ready.
What's your favorite fish?
Oh, probably a Quijack rainbow trout is my favorite to catch.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God, I'm a terrible fisherman. I've reduced myself to 10th and M, you know.
Miss Kay has probably caught and released more rainbows over 10 pounds than any other woman in the country.
Good fly fisherman?
Really good fisherman.
Oh, my gosh. Our idea of fishing is, you know, a Lou John tied with an M80 and a couple of, you know, D batteries to it. Man, thank you so much for joining us, Kay. I appreciate you being so... Yeah, she's the one that holds it all together, you can tell.
You can tell that she's just keeps them all in line.
Gentlemen and Kay, thank you so much for joining us in the Big Last Show. Are we getting close anyway,
aren't we? Just be safe.
We need to have you guys come back. Yeah, all right.
So we want to thank you all for joining us at the Big Alaska Show. And Mike Ford, always a pleasure to spend a Saturday morning with you, sir. And
travel safely down the Alcan, my friend.
Yes, and we're going with a spare tire. And
good job.
Don't know how we're going to change it when we get there, but and to my baby girl, love you. Mike Ford, why don't you take us out? You just so eloquently do.
All right. We want to thank Matt and Rusty and Kay for coming by. We want to thank you for listening, and we want to thank our sponsors, Neighbors Windows and Doors, Alaska's window experts at 6251 Tuttle, or online at neighborswindowsanddoors.com, and Alaska Enterprise Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent for Alaska. Visit them anytime at Alaska, AESAlaska.com. If it's Big Alaska Guests, Big Alaska Adventures, and no good line through your tooth, Tall Alaska Tales. It's got to be the Big Alaska Show. Have a great week, everybody.